Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this new day you've given us, for your Sabbath day. I thank you, God, that you prepared in advance for us to be here, to hear your word. I thank you that you are the living word, and that is a fire that burns within us. Lord, fan the flame in us, that we might burn with your truth. Lord, I pray you give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will come out of this mouth. And Lord, I know if it's from you that it has to be that way. And I thank you, God, that you're going to show me not only what to speak, but how to speak it. And we give you praise and glory for this new day. Your mercies are new every morning. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do in this place, this day. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we had good praise and worship, and my heart is still lifting up the Lord, looking up to God. Amen. He's the lifter of our heads. Hallelujah. The name of the message today is, are you going with the master or the masses? Are you going with the master or the masses? Amen. Turn to Matthew 7, please. Matthew 7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 7, we're going to read verses 13 and 14. This is talking about the gates of heaven, amen, in actuality. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Amen. You know, I never saw it before reading that verse, but it's in Yeshua's own red letter words now. And we are told to enter into the narrow gate. Amen. So why is everyone looking for the wide way? Amen. Just because everyone else is doing something, and it might be something you know is sin, but it's popular and accepted, doesn't make it right. God establishes right from wrong in His Word. He has told us the end from the beginning. Amen. It is found in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. We believe in the whole Bible, from Genesis through Revelation, hallelujah, to be all the Word. Amen. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 46, please. Isaiah 46, verse 10. Hallelujah. God is the revelator. Amen. Isaiah 46:10 says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. That sounds like a sovereign God, doesn't it? He can tell it like it is, because He is all powerful, all He reigns over all, amen? You know, people, they kind of want to do their own thing. But in Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? You know, the enemy of our soul has slowly turned us away from what God has said to do. It has resulted in the traditions of men, and men have done what they please instead of what God commands them. To understand God, you must stand under God. To understand God, you must stand under God. Remember one nation under God? A lot of people want to have God next to them, or they want to be above God. They want him in their spiritual resume, as it were, in their community list of events to have, you know, make sure you put down that I go to church now. You know, but they don't want to serve under God and be subject to Him. Amen. In the military, if you don't act right towards someone of lesser rank, an officer over you could tell you to stand down. Stand down. That means, not, you know, that person has power and authority, but someone over him has come in and said, stand down. And now I'm going to tell you, and I will take charge over you and this subordinate. And God is telling us to stand down. We have authority in His name, but when He is there, we better stand down. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to obey God. You better stand down when it comes to Yeshua. You should want to please Him. He is our spiritual commander-in-chief. Turn to John 14, 15, please. John 14, 15. Praise the Lord. We all know this, and we quote this quite often, but it needs to be always repeated. Amen? John 14, 15 says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Hallelujah. You know, true love is obedience. Pastor Bill just preached about that in a message called True Direction just last week. Go to 2 Timothy 2, please. 2 Timothy 2. Hallelujah. You know, we are in the army of God, are we not? We're soldiers. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2, we're going to go to verse 4. "No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer." Do you want to please God? If you do, then you must obey Him. Don't get involved with pleasing people. It's kind of like that verse that says, don't get involved in civilian affairs. Don't get involved with pleasing people, including yourself. Don't always feed your flesh. Show that you have learned self-control from your commander-in-chief. God is sovereign. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Kings have subjects, and therefore we are subject to Him. Obey all that He says. We are to be God-fearing and revere God. We are to be God-fearing believers. We are to honor our God. We must get away from all the things that keep us from God. Amen? That all the things that God detests. Turn to Luke, please. Luke 16. We need to get away from the things that God detests. You're not pleasing Him if you're getting into things that He detests. Amen. Luke 16, 15 says, "He said to them, 'You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight.'" You know, a lot of things in this world people think are important, but God really is not happy. He's not. He looks at them as detestable. Christmas and Easter are highly valued today, but God is not pleased, nor does He approve of it. He gives us the ability to turn from evil. There are alternatives to pagan practices. We overcome evil with good. We attend the Feast of Tabernacles in place of Christmas, and we celebrate Passover, not Easter. Evil is not always obvious if you are unaware of its origins and its devastating overall effect over time. That is why we have used Richard Reeves Outreach. You know, just go to toolong.com, toolong.com, and check it out. Richard Reeves, it's an outreach that we're using because he believes like we do. Praise the Lord, and I know you'll be blessed. Truth is truth. Amen. It's hard to go against the masses when it comes to these two main holidays. Our flesh likes the hype and glitter and commercialism of the holidays. I have to admit, I liked Christmas when I used to celebrate it. I was unaware of all that it was attached to. But now that I've been going to the Feast of Tabernacles, there are lights, there are things there, you can give gifts to people, but it's not at all representative of Christmas. It is the true holy day, not a holiday. Amen. And it lasts longer and it's much better. Amen. Praise God. If we're going to do things, let's do it right. Hallelujah. Giving is a good thing at Christmas, but it's about what Yeshua gave, not what you can receive. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Amen. Hallelujah. Leviticus 23, verse 2 says, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'These are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as a sacred assembly.'" Amen. These are the times when we are to get together. They are also Sabbaths. Amen.
Amen.
just like the Saturday true Sabbath. Amen. Amen. And they are lasting ordinances for all generations. And then in Leviticus 23, it goes on to tell you about all the feast days. There are seven that we observe. Syncretism is mixing pagan with holy. You must be holy if you want to see God. We all must flee from pagan adultery. Don't be tempted to participate in pagan practices. Amen. Speaking of temptation, turn to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. You know, we are tempted to just go along with the flow. And a lot of times the flow is so strong that it's hard sometimes to, I just want to get my feet wet. I really don't want to get in the flow of the, but you can be swept in by lies, amen? It can overtake you. Who is influencing who? You know, we have people that still attend Sunday services that come to our service and say, well, how could that be bad? Because it's a good thing. But you, what camp are you in? Who are you serving? What do you believe? Right. Amen? Right. I mean, you better be under covert operation, realizing who the enemy is so you can expose him and bring him to truth. Amen? Right. And say, well, how can that be a bad thing, going to church anywhere? You know, there are good in all churches. But you have to decide which camp are you in. Amen? You're either in or out. I mean, back in Jesus' day, you were in one camp or the other. The only time you went to another camp is when you were spying on the enemy. So you could figure out a way to overcome the enemy. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, I got off on a tangent there. But hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 and 14. Talking about temptation here. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He also provides a way out so you can stand up under it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from adultery. As I said, there are alternatives. You can go to the holy days. Believe me, you will be happier. It's going to be hard at first to go against the masses, go against the flow. You're going to be like a salmon swimming upstream, you're going to get tired of it. And people are going to say, what are you doing swimming this way? Just go with the flow. Don't fight so hard. They want you to turn around and be a dead fish and just go down with them. It ain't going to happen. If you have life in you, keep flowing the correct way to the right ways. Amen? Hallelujah. No dead fishes in this. Hallelujah. Luke 16:15. Oh, I already read that. I'm sorry. That's the thing where I moved the scripture up on my computer and I forgot to delete the lower one. Hallelujah. That's all right, though. Luke 16:15 is talking about justifying ourselves, but God detests the things that we justify. If you truly love and desire to obey God, once you hear the truth, you are then accountable to apply that truth into your lifestyle, or it is sin. What? I have to do that? Well, if you know it's true, if you hear something you know in your heart of hearts and it's confirmed in the Word of God and you know it's true, then you are then accountable and you must do it or it's sin. I can prove it by going to James chapter 4, verse 17. James 4, 17. Let's try to look at there and see what it says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James 4:17 says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Right there. If you know to do good and do not do it, it is sin. And I've introduced this before, but it's called the theory of disagreement. And if you claim to truly love something, you must hate its opposite. Oh, Brother Coleman, hate is a strong word. You don't have to use that word. Well, Jesus did. it says in the Word that God hates sin. You know, we don't hate people, but we hate sinful lifestyles or sinful ways, things that we know are not the correct way. The only good way is the God way. Amen? Right. Amen. Everyone who claims to be a Christian knows the good way is God's way. We are supposed to ask where the good way is. We're supposed to ask where the good way is. Jeremiah 6:16. We all know this one. Jeremiah 6:16. We're to look for the good way. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "This is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said we will not walk in it." A lot of people know the truth, they don't want to walk in it because it just ruins their program. They want to stay in control, amen? See how bullheaded we are? Well, when you're bullheaded, you're headed for bull, amen? There's a turn of words here the Lord just kind of... You know, David talks about the bulls of Bashan in Psalm 22:12. There are bulls, and we can be bullheaded. Amen. We don't want to be bullheaded. Amen. We want to have strong heads for God and nothing else. Amen. Not bullheaded. Amen. We are to receive with meekness the divine truths of God. We worship God in spirit and in truth. You need the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, and you need to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth that's found in God's Word and not in some fairy tale. Amen? Amen. Fear God. We are to seek and prepare our hearts and minds to receive what God has for us. You know, Jeremiah chapter 4 says to break up your fallow ground. That's break up a hard ground that's hardened by the world. We are to break it up and sow righteousness. The hard heart cannot grow teachable, pliable hearts if it is covered by hard ground. Let the seed of truth get in and let it grow in rivers of living water and the light of the Holy Spirit. It is never too late to turn to God, no matter how far one strays. But you have to remember also, you can never be so far away that you can't come back, but you can never be so close that you can't be torn away by the enemy. Because it says in the last days, even the elect, if it were possible, could be led astray. Amen? So even the elect, no matter how close you are, you can always turn to God. But be careful. There's a devil out there. There is an enemy of our soul that wants to ruin everything and keep you from truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Christendom as a whole has been walking down the wrong path. We're still in Jeremiah. Go to chapter 18. Jeremiah 18, and we're going to go to verse 15. God knows everything. Amen. He's all-knowing. Hallelujah. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Yet my people have forgotten me. You know, God wrote this. He knew ahead of time. Yet my people have forgotten me. They burnt incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their ways and in the ancient paths. You know, God wants us to take the narrow way, as I read when I first started this message. These are the ancient paths. The rest of this verse, they made them walk in bypaths and roads not built up. You know, the build-up roads are the ones prepared in advance for you to take. In Israel, they had cities that were built later on top of another city, and they call them tells. A tell. And there are things that God wants you to keep as holy and wants you to build on the things that God's already built up. Amen? And that's His foundations. Go to Ephesians 2:10, please. God prepared in advance His Torah, His plan, covenant plan. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:10. This tells us why we're created. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Hallelujah. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen? The good works are the laws of God found in the first five books of the Bible called the Torah. Our God is called HaTorah, or the Word. Amen? The law has not been done away with. just read Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Let's go ahead and read it. Matthew 5, 17 and 18. We always tell this scripture, and it's always worth repeating. Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So right there it says, do not think I have come to abolish the law. But people say that Jesus has abolished the law. But he tells us right there, you know, and as far as I can see, the earth has not disappeared. Amen? Or I wouldn't be standing here, as I said this before. Hallelujah. You cannot show me one scripture in the New Testament that says the law is done away with. You can show me one that you think says the law is done away with, but you will not find one in the New Testament that tells you the law is done away. Hallelujah. Jews and Gentiles are all part of Israel and are to walk together in unity. Three times God uses the word together in the following scripture. Turn to Ephesians, please. Ephesians 3. It's about unity. Amen. Ephesians 3, 6. This mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Three times is the word together. Do you think God's trying to tell us something? Oh, all that Jewish stuff. I'm not an Israelite. I don't need to do all this Jewish stuff. Hey, we are heirs together. Amen. Amen. We're members together and we're sharers of the promise together. So that's why God says together three times. Hallelujah. There must be the spirit of unity among all believers. Turn to Romans. Go to the Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Romans 15, verses 5 through 7. Hallelujah. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify God the Father and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're to be of one heart, one mouth, amen? Like we were this morning when we were worshiping God, we were in one voice, one mouth, praising God. Hallelujah. You know, accept one another. I'm in verse 7 of Ephesians 3. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Hallelujah. You know, we're talking about the narrow way and the right path. Not all paths, you know, religions lead to the same God. There is one way and there is one God, and you must know how to find Him. Amen. Know how to find the way. Ask for the way. Hallelujah. 2 weeks ago, Jeremy Vonner taught us about unity and teamwork in his message, and I love that message. Raising the bar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all about unity, amen? The bride of Christ has to be one body. You cannot be a free agent. Yes, everyone must first work out their own salvation by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, believing in their heart, speaking it out. But then, must assemble themselves together with like believers. We must move together as a body to advance the kingdom of God. There is a vision to follow. Without a vision, people perish. You know, lone rangers become lone strangers. Amen? We need God to deliver us, and we need each other to stay strong so that together we can become the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, God is not coming back for a fragmented body of Christ. He's coming back for the whole body of Christ. Turn to Colossians 3, please. Colossians 3. We're going to read 13 through 17. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Colossians 3, verses 13 through 17. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Verse 14. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's love is what brings perfect unity. Amen. And if you love God, you will obey His commandments. Hallelujah. Verse 15 of Colossians 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Hallelujah. And be thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whatever in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Hallelujah. You know, the mainline churches today say, obey God, yet they do not realize how far their obedience has been compromised. If they truly were obedient to God, they would keep the holy days and not the holidays. They would keep commandment number 4, remembering to keep holy the Lord's day. And they would change from Sunday to Saturday, the seventh day. They would not use pork as food, as the Bible tells us. And they would keep the dietary laws. They would tithe and also second tithe in order to keep the holy days. Amen. You know, when we try to get people to see all this, we get contention. You know, that's not a popular thing to say in the if you say it in front of the masses today. I could not preach this from any pulpit. But contention is good if it leads to real change. How many times was Paul, you know, nearly crucified for speaking up? I mean, they tried to kill him so many times. And I'm telling you, people don't want to hear the truth. There are major changes that one has to make to be subject to God and submit to Him. Many of our pastors today would not be willing to go that far. Yet if they do not, they will have to answer to God personally one day. If you know to do good and don't do it, it is sin. Let me give you a quote that I have given before, but it still applies. It is a quote from Tolstoy. Most men seldom accept even the simplest and most obvious truth if it obliges them to admit the falsity of conclusions which they have delighted in explaining to colleagues, which they have proudly taught to others, and which they have woven thread by thread into the fabric of their lives. Even the most simplest, obvious truth, they don't want to admit it because it will show that they, you know, they've been explaining this to people over years and years and years, and now they have to tell them that these things are wrong. Yes, they do, if they're behind a pulpit, but not they're not willing, amen? It says, but we will, remember that scripture I read, but we will not walk in it. People know, yet they refuse to obey God. And God is not playing games. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he punished people for pagan practices back in Jesus' time, He'll still do it today. He has to be true to His Word. Amen. And the Word doesn't change because He is the Word. Hallelujah. There's a lot to untangle because over time, the webs of distortion and confusion have intertwined themselves around people's minds. We must be renewed in our minds and in our hearts only through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need the Spirit of God to bring you into all truth. It has to be through the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit have its way in your life. You can do all things through Christ. Amen. You can live out a lifestyle that is Torah observant, Spirit-filled. You can do it. Hallelujah. Turn to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30. We're going to read verses 10 through 20. Deuteronomy 30. 10 through 20. Hallelujah. If you obey the Lord your God and keep His commands and decrees that are written in the book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, amen, you'll be prosperous, it's saying, the verses above. Verse 11. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult, for you are beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us, so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us, so we may obey it. No, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Hallelujah. But if your heart turns away and are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day, you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. The Lord is your life. And we are to choose life. Amen. That's one of Pastor's greatest messages, is choose life. Check it out. There's more than one. I believe there's two. To choose life. It's an awesome CD. We need to choose Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. He puts it before us. He tells us the way. He is the way. There's no confusion there. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy. Wait, let's see. Let's be thankful to God for His revelation given to us through His Holy Spirit and for all His teachings. He has made known to us as we have abided in Him and our personal relationship with Him. Amen. Turn to Deuteronomy 29. We're already almost there. Deuteronomy 29. And verse 29. You know, there are mysteries in God. And there's things that we're just not going to know. That's what makes God God. If we knew everything about God and totally understood Him, then He would no longer be God. Am I correct? Amen. So God is God. It says right here in Deuteronomy 29, which I preached before. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Hallelujah. He gives us so that we will follow the words of the law. That's what He's revealing to us. Amen. And it's given to us, and therefore we can give it out to others. Amen. It's in our hearts, and secret things are revealed. Amen. Turn to Proverbs 2, please. Proverbs 2. This is, you know, I started to look at, read Proverbs 2 again, and I thought, well, that verse is good. Well, I better give them this one. I decided to read the whole Proverbs 2. I'm going to read the whole chapter of Proverbs 2. Hallelujah. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your hearts to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. And find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for those for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. Hallelujah. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Verse 16. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. You know, here it's talking about a wayward wife, but this is also the church. It could be the church. Amen. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Hallelujah. That's all of Proverbs 2. You know, the worst curse you can ever have is to be cut off from God. You want to be cut off from God, you take the wrong paths and stay on it. If you know to do the right way, then you need to turn. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's cherish the covenant of the Torah. Turn to Psalm 19, please. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Children are crying out today. They just don't want to be quiet. It's funny how I was telling before, we teach kids to walk and to talk, and when they do, we tell them to shut up and sit down. Hallelujah. Psalm 19. Hallelujah. This is about the Torah. Hallelujah. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. Let me stop right there, verse 5 for a second. You know, the very heavens proclaim the glory of God. And if people think that there's no sign of, there's no proof there's a God, just look around you. If you ever studied science or looked at the universe, you realize just how unique and wonderful God's creation is. But we have to be careful not to worship the created, but worship the creator. You know, I've said before, there's a guy that says, well, my God is out there on the river where I'm fishing. I can be with the Lord. No, but that's worshiping the created rather than God, the creator. You need to hear the word of God, assemble with like believers. There's a time for fishing, but God wants to be fishers of men, and he wants you in the house of God to hear his word. Hallelujah. Verse 6. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Hallelujah. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. This is words from someone who wants to please his God. Amen. May my words be pleasing in your sight, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God goes out of his way to keep us in the way. God goes out of his way to keep us in the way. He gives us plenty of time. Hallelujah. He does it by his grace. He wants to redeem his people. He would that none would perish. Amen. He continually calls out to us to come near to him. Turn to Matthew 23, please. Matthew 23:37. It's talking about what God really, you know, we're talking about children and make it, you know, in here. Matthew 23:37, Jesus said, I have longed to gather your children like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. God wants us to come close to him and be under his authority and in the house of God where we can be protected. Amen. If you're in another camp, look out. You may not be that safe. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, let's go there. It's another awesome. Isaiah 55, so good. God wants us to come near him. He calls to us. It's kind of like he goes, psst, come here. I want to talk to you. I want to give you insights. He's cool. He wants us near. That's where we need to be. Isaiah 55, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. It's talking about the Spirit and the Word right there. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me. He says it twice. Listen. And eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. That's kind of like the psst, come here. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. As I said, you know, stop right there at verse 3. God prepared in advance his Torah, the covenant of love, and the way that we should walk. And he made it possible by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony that we can be overcomers. Amen? Verse 4. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Even nature knows to worship God. Hallelujah. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. And instead of briars and myrtle, instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign, which will not be destroyed. Hallelujah. God's will be done. Hallelujah. Let's draw near to God. Let's turn to Hebrews 10, please. Hebrews 10. We need to draw together and look to the Lord. Hebrews 10. I can get there. Hebrews 10. I got to put this water down. Can't do it one-handed. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10. And we're going to read verses 19 through 31. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Verse 25, this is good right here. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hallelujah. Do we see the day approaching? Amen. Verse 26, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. The Word of God will either fry you or free you. You know what I'm saying? You better know it's hot. But it don't have to be hot if it's the right fire. Amen? Not all fire of God is consuming. Some of it is fire of His Holy Spirit, and it only burns away the bad stuff. Hallelujah. Verse 28, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sacrificed him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know Him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge His people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You know, people in Christendom today, a lot of them are looking for God to reward them, and what He's going to do is going to discipline them. You know, you have to do what God says. Like, it's just the way it is. Yeshua is coming soon. We do not have time to waste in relearning the basics of how to love one another, our brothers and sisters, or control our tongue. We must love what we have been taught and be in the deep things of God. Did you know that God confides in us? God actually confides in us. Turn to Psalm 25, please. Psalm 25. And we're going to read verse 14. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His covenant known to them. It is only since I got on this walk that I've really understood the covenant of God. Amen. I see it unfolding before me, and it all makes sense. It's such a great pattern, and it's the way to go, and it's the only way. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, among the masses of people in this complex world, there are too many choices and distractions out there that eat up our time and get us off focus of what is really important. You know, the Lord kind of showed me on the way up here, it's kind of like throwing candy. Have you ever been to a parade? How many have been to a parade? All right, for the children, they take big handfuls of candy and throw it out there. All right, the children run after the candy. They have to see it, they have to pick it up, and they have to unwrap it. And they don't see the parade right before them, which is what is on parade to be seen. It's kind of like the Word of God is right there for us to see, and we're throwing candy, little bits of truth that are good, But to take the time to walk over, unwrap it, look at it, and all that, it's just, there's so much in the information highway out there, you know. We have to be careful not to feed on fiction, but focus on facts. Not to feed on fiction, but to focus on facts. You know, and these are it's candy, you know, it's good, it's sweet. Oh, yeah, but it's also fattening and it's fictitious. And we don't need to feed on fiction, but focus on the facts. Amen? It's a distraction. And that's what's happening today. There's so much distortion and distraction that eats up time. And time is important because God is coming soon. We cannot be distracted with all these things, though they might be good, they might taste good, and they're there for us to take. It doesn't mean you can go and be like a child and get in the way of the parade and not see. The children don't see the parade before them. They're just after the candy. Are we going to be like that in our spiritual walk and run after candy? Are we going to run after truth? See what's right there before us in the Word of God and not swerve from the things that are there. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. People change over time, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. People want God to change with them, but they need to just change to God's ways. God is perfect and therefore is in not need of change. God never talks about change. Amen. He wants us to change. The world is not turning to God and making the change to conform to Him. Turn to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, please. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Hallelujah. This is what's happening today. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, which is apathy, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Woo! So you're going to go in their camp? You're going to bring their literature into this camp? Think about it. Well, it's good, Coleman. Yeah, it's good. There's a lot of good out there. There's a lot of candy. But I can't waste my time unwrapping a sticky candy wrapper when the parade, the Word of God is right there before me. Hallelujah. We can get so easily strayed that we fall away eventually. But it's good, Coleman. It's good. Oh, look at this knowledge. Yes, people can perish from lack of knowledge, but they're starting to get away from the true knowledge of the truth. And they're often some, you know, here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail. I mean, I'm sick of it. There's so much junk out there. You know, it's supposed to be the information technology, you know, supposed to be the highway. What happened to be still and know that I am God? Like I said, get off of Facebook and get your face in the book. I'm guilty. I got on Facebook for a little bit, but I just wanted to get some pictures from some of the family. You can't get into Facebook without joining Facebook. So I had to join to get in, get what I wanted, and get the heck out. You know? I don't want to take the fast lane. I'm sorry, I'm older. I'm going to go 65 like my age. You know. I mean, come on. Hallelujah. I'm almost 65, not yet. Hallelujah. You know, there is a lot of confusion, and God is not a God of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." That's 1 Corinthians 14:33. That's the New King James Version, by the way. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Isaiah 41:29, also in the New King James. For the sake of time, I'm going to have to keep going. You just have to get the CD and take it home and listen. Amen. Isaiah 41:29 in the New King James. "Indeed, they are all worthless. Their works are nothing. Their molded images are wind and confusion." You know, today, people worshiping pagan things, it's all wind and confusion. Amen? It's not the wind of the Holy Spirit. It's just something else. All right, James 3:16 of the New King James. James 3:16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So you want to be self-seeking, you're going to come into confusion and evil. You have to be selfless and serving God. Amen? Evil is in the church. Uh-oh. I want to confirm that fact. If you turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, we're going to read that.
Well, surely there's no evil in this church.
You don't have to, the devil don't have to go to the bars or anything. He's already got all them people in the world. He's in the churches, unfortunately. And I'll tell you why. It's not, you know. But evil cannot stay where God is. Sin and God do not coexist. Hallelujah. Not in the end, anyway. Matthew 13, we're going to read 24 through 30. It's the parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Where then did all these weeds come from?" Verse 28, "An enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into the barn." Hallelujah. Yes, we are mixed with and surrounded by evil in this world. Although we are in the world, we do not have to be of the world. There is a way to deal with evil in the church. There is a way to deal with evil in the church. Turn to 1 Corinthians 5, please. 1 Corinthians 5:11 and we are to expose the evil and get it out of the church.
Oh, we're not to judge.
Yeah, but it tells you here, you're going to read it. 1 Corinthians 5:11-13. "But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is sexually immoral, or greedy, an adulterer, or slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church?" Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. "Expel the wicked man from among you." Wow. You know, God has to be the one to weed them out in the end. But those in the church cannot stay unless they repent. We are to make disciples, and that requires them to have discipline. You know, there is way too much tolerance in the churches today. Amen. People are not, they don't hate sin. If you claim to really love God, like I said in the theory of disagreement, then you must hate sin, and people just don't hate sin. In fact, they're living in sin and love it, and they will not change, and they will answer. The people who come to us, hungry hearts, or seek our church are already hungry for God and are looking for more. We give them an opportunity to have an atmosphere where they can develop a relationship with Yeshua. You know, we're trying to get you to be yada with God, that you're so close to Him that you actually produce offspring. That's as close as you can get, folks. Amen? That's what we're looking for, is a personal relationship with Yeshua. He is the answer. There are those who stumble in and out of curiosity in our church, and there are those who are hungry for food, and we feed them. However, if they are not a hungry heart for God, they will just get their fill and flee. And they've been doing it, haven't they? People come in, get their fill, get their curiosity fill, and they leave. We are not here to please man, but God. You cannot survive here If you come in with an attitude of what does this church have to offer me? You have to come in hungry for God and not look to man for fulfillment or be easily offended. You have to be determined to develop a dedicated relationship with Yeshua. You want to be a servant working with the body and as a body. I love, as I said, Jeremy Vonner's message. He, meaning God, has raised the bar. You know, it taught us teamwork and unity to attain a goal. One cannot work out of unison, or the body is disconnected somewhere and is sick. All the functions of the body are critical. Any part of the body or assignment God has given you in hungry hearts is significant, no matter how insignificant you think it is. It's important. We need you and your position. All the body is essential to form a complete body. Humble submission and selfless dedication will be practiced instead of self-centered and unteachable hearts saying you already know it all and will set everyone straight with all the knowledge that you have. Boy, you're smart. I'd rather be wise. There's a lot of smart people. There's very few wise guys. Amen? Really wise men today. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must have discerning of spirits. It is a spiritual gift to keep us from false doctrines or things that eat up our time and are not productive. You know, it's kind of like UFOs. People are so interested today still in UFOs. It's all over. But there is no life on other planets. I can tell you, you know, it's a distraction. It's interesting, but it's a distraction. It's throwing candy. It keeps you from the real truth. People are out there looking for some space, you know, spaceman, and they're forgetting the man that created them. And it's just a distraction to keep us from what's important. And they are the basic pillars of our faith, what we truly believe in. Amen? Can't believe everything you hear. You have to have discerning of spirits. Amen. Today, the Christian community is we're inundated with people that claim to have a new teaching or a new idea of thought. You know, I hate to tell you this, but there is really nothing new, and there is nothing that surprises God. The devil isn't smart enough to be creative. Only the names of these new teachings are changed. The devil will try to reintroduce a falsehood under a new name, but it's never new. All us humans are gullible and naive. Until we are grounded and rooted in the basic truths of God and His Torah and have the Holy Spirit of God in us, we will be deceived. Because even the elect, if it were possible, will be deceived. God, help us to bring the truth, nothing but the truth. Help us, God, Lord. We can be so easily deceived. Our flesh in the form of pride, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, where all sin comes from. Amen. We can be enticed and fed, and we like that. We like to feed our flesh. We live on the information highway. It moves so fast. And we think we have to get in the fast lane. As I said, what happened to be still and know that I'm God? The book of Ecclesiastes says, there is nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 10. The next verse. Is there anything of which we can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. Woo! Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm off the scripture now. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must be careful of what we hear or what information is presented to us that we will not be pulled into it. As I said, we must have the gift of the Spirit called discerning spirits or distinguishing between spirits. There's more than one spirit out there. We have to know that we have to be with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You know, and the gifts of God are listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11. Be sure the discerning of spirits or distinguishing between spirits is in there. Luke 8, 15 through 18. Let's go there. Luke 8, 15 through 18. I'm just about running out of time, but I think I have time pretty good here. Thank you, Lord. He keeps me on time, in truth. Hallelujah. Luke 8. And we're going to read 15 through 18. Hallelujah. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving produce a crop. See, we take in too much candy, we're going to get fat on falsehood. We need to retain the truth. Amen. We need to produce a crop for God, be fruitful for God. Verse 16, no one lights a lamp and hides it under a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. But be careful to guard your ear gate and your eye gate. You must break up your fallow, your unplowed ground. Amen? We must receive with meekness the divine seed of truth. Turn to the master plan. Be willing to conform not to this world or the masses, but to the live a life-fearing God lifestyle of Torah observant, spirit-filled. Go with the master and not the masses. Amen.